We're going to read the whole chapter, so please follow on as we share together in God's Word. This letter to the Colossians is a letter that Paul writes where, again, he's talking about who these people are. That these people are Christ people. That they're that not because of what they do or because of their traditions, but because of Jesus. So reading from verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. May God indeed fill us with the truth of his word. And as we come to this, we're going to be looking primarily at the end, or towards the end, so verses 9 through to verse 17. Let's just pause for a sec and just ask God that he might speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, we thank you for the power of your living word. A power which not only transforms us, but a truth which changes us, changes who we are. That we are a new creation in Jesus. That we have a new identity. Lord, we pray that you would just help us as we come to your word, Lord, to be humbled, to listen, that your Spirit might be able to work in us and change us. For we ask these things in his name and for his glory. Amen. You know, so often you hear about people who say that they're going to change their lives. They're going to transform their lives. They're going to remake who they are. But, you know, so often when people say that, it's because they've got bad habits that they want to change. And they think that changing the bad habits will suddenly make them a better person. It might make their future actions or attitudes better, but it doesn't make them a better person. And, you know, what we need, and what we need to realise as individuals, is that we can reform our actions, we can reform our attitudes, but we need more than that. As Paul says, and the scripture says time and time again, it's not that we need to have better attitudes or better actions. What we need is not reformation, but we need to be remade, renewed in Christ. That we need to find ourselves in Christ. Because as Christ's people, we're characterized by a new identity. What Paul is talking about here is, we see in verse 9, since you've taken off your old self with all its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. What Paul is saying is that our old self isn't just being reformed to make a new self. In fact, it's been taken off. It's been cast aside. And you know, this word in the Greek is actually interesting, because it's a word that isn't used before Paul coined this term. It's a build-up of three different words, which means away from apple. Now, ek means to go down and completely away. And duo means to take off. It's a building up. It's a strengthening of each word. It means to completely, once and for all, take off, put aside. Our old self is something that we're to discard. Just like a butterfly emerging from the cocoon, doesn't go back to the cocoon. Rather, it comes out in all the beauty of what it is. And part of this is also that we've to put on. And again, it's the same word, that instead of putting on, do, it's in. Put in. Or it's got this sense of sinking into, being completely enveloped by our new self. You know, this image is perhaps one that we maybe struggle to fully comprehend.
What is it that Paul is talking about? What is Scripture is talking about in saying this? Does it mean that somehow when we come to Christ that we become perfect? Only in Jesus. It's only as we grow to become more like Jesus, as we realize our true identity is in Jesus, that we do become more perfect. So our new self doesn't mean that we're perfect, but what it means is our identity, we realize it's in Jesus. The description of who we are. And in verse 10, Paul reinforces this, that what are we to put on? Well, a new self, one which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. That putting on, as I said, is sense of sinking in. But it's something which figuratively can mean to be clothed. And it's what defines, what the thing which identifies what that new self is. It's in the image of our Creator. This new self is defined by not laws, not commandments, not our actions, not our traditions, not even our sacraments or the activities we do within the church. These aren't the things which define us, who we are. It's the image of the Creator. What is the image of the Creator? I'm sure that you remember the passage where we're told that Jesus is the image. He is the Word who is with the Father. He's the image of of God Himself. And it's in realizing our identity in Him. Verse 12, as God's chosen people, it's as we realize that God has chosen us, that God has given us this new identity in Christ. That we are chosen, holy, and loved, dearly loved, by God. In other words, it's God, the Creator, who has taken the initiative. It's God who makes us His people, because He has chosen us. It's God who makes us holy, because we're not holy. We're not people who always do the right thing. But our holiness is dependent upon Christ and what Christ has done for us. It's because of this that God has elected, sanctified, and loved us. That's important, because it's God who creates us in His own image, in the power, His own power. So that we have no reason to feel that it's through our own strength of faith. It's not through our own good actions that we are sanctified. But it's because of God's love. So because of this, we shouldn't feel puffed up or boastful or prideful, or feel that we're better than other people. Because It's God who is the great leveller. It's God who has made each one of us. And it's God who chooses those that he loves. So Paul makes a point. There is no distinction between Greek and Jew. In other words, between a Jew who is God's person and a Greek was a barbarian. Colossae was in sort of Greek province. It doesn't matter where you live, what your racial identity is. Even your religious identity is. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or barbarian. Scythian, in other words, someone that's completely barbarian. Slave or free. But Christ is all and in all. So it's in Christ that we find our true identity. And Paul says that's what he's found. That's his experience. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says these words, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." It's in Christ that we find our true identity. And it's in Christ that we find that identity is in terms of the way in which we live. You know, he goes on to itemize a number of, if you like, qualities in talking about as a new creation, that as having a new identity, that there's these, if you like, seven virtues which we are to have. And they marry up more or less completely with the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. What he's talking about here is that our identity is in Christ, and the way in which we live, what should be seen in our lives, is the Spirit at work. The Spirit empowering and enabling us to be Christ's people. So very quickly, just moving on, because time's moving on. These words, and I don't want to sort of press them too much for each one, but there's two characteristics which describe how we are to treat others. That we're to have tender mercies or hearts of compassion. Again, the words that are used are important here in the original Greek, because what's translated hearts actually means the bowels or the deepest part of our being. We've talked about that last week or the week before that. But for the ancient people, that's what they thought, that their emotions came from the deepest part of their body. And we talk about our emotions coming from our hearts. And that's why it's translated this way. But the point that he's making, it's from the compassion or the pity, which describes how the deep feelings that God has for us all. And it powerfully shows and shares in those following him. This deep compassion, this deep love, or pity, or mercy, is something that should be seated at the centre of who we are. And the kindness that we're to have. Often we think in terms of some of these qualities as being weak qualities. And we'll see this just shortly, that when we talk about kindness, we think of something as being very meek. It's actually a word which displays a power of character. A kindness is not just a good thing that we do for someone else. The kindness that we're to have is something which is a characteristic which describes, if you like, the way in which we interact with other people. We're always to be thinking of others, of how other people react, how other people's needs. That sense of care. The following two characteristics are about our attitude, what it's to be. Because it follows on from what Paul has just been saying. First of all, it's to be humble, or that we're to have humility. And humility is basically having a low mind. Again, humility is one of these qualities that in our world we often think is a sign of weakness. So someone who's humble is someone who's going to get trodden on. You don't want to be humble. Sometimes people are filled with arrogance, as Paul said earlier, a pride. But Paul says, no, we have to have humility. And humility is not a lowness of mind in the sense of being weak. But it's this deep inside-out virtue which is produced by comparing ourselves not to, if you like, the laws and commandments, ticking off, yes, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm being good. That is not what defines. It's not our action. It's a virtue that comes from internally, by comparing ourselves to the Lord rather than to others, or to laws or commandments. It means living in complete dependence on the Lord. In other words, with having no reliance on ourselves, on our old selves, on flesh, as the Bible talks about. And the next one is gentleness. Again, gentleness is often one which is misunderstood, because gentleness, again, is one that's seen as being weak. But actually, it's a gentle strength. It expresses power from within to act in a way which is not only dignified, not only right, but an action which actually is long-suffering. It's an action which people see in us. When people look at us, what do they see? Do they see a person who says that they're a Christian, who goes to church, but doesn't actually live out their lives, in whom people don't see Christ? Rather, it's something that people should see changes our attitude towards others. We are to have
a long suffering, or patience. That's these two words, macrothumia. Long suffering or long anger. In other words, this is the ability to look over another's faults and seek the good that is in them from knowing the Lord. In other words, it's bearing with others, even though they may frustrate us, even though they might wind us up, being able to have that long suffering, that patience that we'll see in a second, that sense of bearing with one another. That's what Paul says. To be able to, and it's sometimes not easy. And that's why he says we are to bear with one another. Sometimes it's hard bearing with others, isn't it? It's hard being in a relationship or in a family. And sometimes families can be the most frustrating or the most infuriating. But the same goes for the church as well. Because as a church, we are a family. Sometimes in the church, we can find it so hard. So hard to get on with someone. Or sometimes we see them acting in a way they shouldn't do. But with to be long-suffering. In other words, to try to get them to see Christ. And to be changed. To change their lives. Change their actions. To know that their identity as a Christian is in Christ. And finally, there's the other. Oh, sorry. I've talked about humility, having that low, humble spirit. And we've talked about patience. Sorry, skipping back, I think. We're to forgive. So, Paul says that the result, the building up of all these, if you like, attitudes or qualities, is that we're able to forgive others. Forgive is where we're able to not stand on our rights. Because often the way in which people sin against us hurts us, doesn't it? It's something which wounds us deeply. And sometimes it's hard to forgive. And just a quick word about forgiveness, because people often misunderstand what forgiveness truly is. Often we think forgiveness is about letting someone else off the hook. In other words, I forgive you for doing that. In other words, it's okay that you did it. I'm not holding it against you. Is that what forgiveness is? About letting someone else feel better? No. Forgiveness is not about letting someone off the hook. Forgiveness is actually first and foremost about ourselves, where we say, we acknowledge the pain that someone has caused us, and we say, I'm not going to let that pain or anger dwell in me. I'm releasing it, I'm letting go of it, I'm forgiving the other person. Forgiving can be powerful for us, ourselves, but also powerful in the witness it has to others. In my first church where I was minister, back in Scotland, way back last century, makes me feel old. Back in the 1990s, I was minister of a church in Wishaw, and my predecessor, the former minister, him and his wife were still members of our church, still attended every Sunday. Anyway, their son was a very eminent surgeon, and he did a lot of missionary work in South Africa. And unfortunately, he was hijacked.
They tried to steal his car. They ended up stabbing him and shooting him dead. And my predecessor, Jimmy Alexander, he went out to South Africa for the trial. And he stood up and he said that he forgave those that had done this act. And you know, that was such a powerful statement, not just to those that were accused, but also to the whole community. Being able to forgive, even when we're so deeply wounded, even when our lives are changed because of the actions of another person. Being able to love. And this is what he talks about. And this love that he uses, and I'm sure you've heard it to death, but the word that's used is agape. The word agape is only really used in the Bible, the New Testament. And it's a type of love which actually is one that is sort of, it's a not just a goodwill or a benevolence, but it's a love that characterizes us because of our identity in Christ. So we have a new identity in Christ. An identity in which people see Christ. And because of this, we have a new direction and a new motivation. I'll leave that for another day. But the important thing is that as Christians, we're not just changed in terms of our behaviour or the way in which we live, but we're changed in the essence of who we are because our identity is in Christ. Amen. We'll think more about this later on.